friends, the CD that you're about to listen to was made at our annual Thanksgiving meeting here in Oldfield in 2009, and it's very exciting to me. It's definitely a time of a turnaround, a time of a turning of the tide, and that awareness that was at our Thanksgiving meeting certainly comes through when you listen to this CD. The reason I'm giving this introduction is because there's a couple of items on the CD that are incomplete, and without just knowing the completeness of them, somewhat of the train of thought throughout the CD will be lost. One of these is a dream that I referred to by a lady called Donna, and she she's on her way to a library, and she's naked, and when she comes to the library, she's just able to read the books simply by touching them, and the knowledge that's available there just is available to her. And then one day, as she walks to the library, she sees that she knows that she's naked, but she sees someone looking at her, and she thinks, oh my, I'm fat, and seeks to hide herself. Now, that part of the dream is missing in my recounting it in the CD. The result is that she takes a garment or a robe or some kind and covers herself. And this time when she comes to the library, she's now no longer able to just touch the books and read them. She has to read them word for word and line by line, as we're accustomed to. And of course, this dream, the reason for including it in the ministry is because it's a modality. It helps us understand what happened to us in our incarnation when we became physical, the result of our shame. And you'll see how that clearly fits into the discussion of shame in the CD. I just wanted you to know that much. The second item that needs a reference is the idea of sin. As the CD opens, a short portion was omitted of the address. And the portion that was omitted gave a definition of sin as it originally came to me and was given to me by the Spirit. And this definition of sin is, of course, that sin is the thought or the awareness that I am unable to meet your expectations. Or you might say it this way, sin is the thought or awareness that you are unable to meet my expectations, that being God's thinking towards you. This definition, when it originally came to me, I shared it with Carolyn intensely, and it was very, very difficult for her to receive that definition, and she definitely, you know, got in my face about it. She has her own courage, her own mind, her own understanding, and so when the CD begins, I'm talking about my relationship with Carolyn in this context. Didn't decide just what to name the CD, so I finally settled on embracing a newness, even though the idea of a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world and the idea of a new theology are very prominent, and the concept of sin is discussed with great intensity. But ultimately, the final thought of the CD is to encourage all of us to embrace the newness, to be willing to let go of whatever it is that we think our reality is, and to look for a greater interpretation. So, thank you. I hope you enjoy the CD, and let me know about it. Thank you.
I want them to sing, and I want them to share their testimony. I think we are unequivocally in need of a greater theology. We are unequivocally, without doubt, in great need of a new and a true theology. Amen. We are unequivocally, without, I've learned something. I taught school for years. I figured out that the first time you said it, nobody got it. And I found a secret. You say it again. We are absolutely, whoa, that's big, unequivocally, without any doubt, in need of a true theology. Hallelujah. Ah, don't you love it? And the proof is all you have to do is listen to our own gibberish. It doesn't cut it. It doesn't make sense. It's massive confusion. Get it straight. And the only way you can hear anything, if somebody gets caught up in the spirit enough to bypass their mind, and then you can hear something being said. But our minds are full of confusion. We're totally locked into the three-dimensional paradigm. We totally look at everything from the point of view of our experiences. We can't even read the scriptures. So, well, I had to get that out of my chest. Sounded like a big old lead weight. Do I need to say it again? Yeah, all right. Come on. We are absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt, in need of a new theology. Something that comes from the heart of God, seen from the point of view of eternal perspective, remembered from our former and our origin, remembered from the place we were before we came here, when we understood, and when we were drowned in our own death and we forgot. From that place we will understand. We will never understand from the place we're in. We'll never understand by trying to add up the sum of your experience. We'll never understand by adding up all the understanding of every man when he gets it, when he sees, catches some little glimpse of spirit and misinterprets it in his life and comes up with some kind of a truth that doesn't work. He preaches for 20 years that he's not going to die, and then he dies. That's nonsense. I don't know if you're willing to get real or not. How many times come on, get real. Hear something. Hear it in your life. Make it real. Tell us about it. Yeah. Glory to God. All right, sorry. Whoa. Come on. Whew. Yeah. Are we going to wake up? Let me just say a couple of dormants. And I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. And God himself is the light thereof. And the tabernacle of God is with man. That's what we are. We are the tabernacle of God. We're not going to be the tabernacle of God when we get crystalline bodies. You're not going to be the tabernacle of God when you get it straight in your mind. You've always been the tabernacling of God. The God that is and lives has always been the essence of your being and waiting to burst out, waiting to emerge, waiting for a greater realization to come through the depth of your mind to understand. And we are the vanguard. We've broken through. The grave has been conquered. Death has been overcome. We understand that three-dimensional perception of self that we've lived in is not the real us at all. We understand that this carnal knowing that we perceive from the point of view of our experience is only something that we need in order to walk through realms of duality. And we understand now that we are eternal, that we came from the heavens, that we are the incarnation of God Himself, that we know all things, that we remember all things, that we don't need to be taught a thing, that all things lie within us waiting to emerge, waiting for us to find the courage to believe the eternity that lies within us. We don't have to become immortal. You've always been immortal. Hallelujah. You don't have to conquer some death outside of yourself. You don't have to put away some kind of evil from your heart and your soul and from your mind. You are the eternal substance of life itself, merging in you, awakening to a new day. And the dawning of it lies upon us when we own it. It's ours. It's ours for us to create. It's ours for us to bring structure to it. It's for us to take our children, walk into a new day, and put away the nonsense of religion out of our soul and the longing for something else and something other, and to acknowledge that we've always been what we are and will always be, and there's nothing else to find somewhere outside of ourselves. Well, okay, I didn't want to do all that, but come on, sing for us. Yeah. Yeah, you can do that, because that's, I know that's your heart. I know that the reason you took in John and his family because of Elijah is because you wanted reality. You wanted to love. You wanted to be. You don't want to live in the constructs of mind that really don't work anyway. All the wonderful things we've said that just don't pan out. I know you're really convinced of this idea about sin, but it's not going to make good preaching. People are not going to really want to hear that. And I don't even know it's true now. I want to be myself. I don't want to just believe something because you believe it. Of course, she does want to believe it just because I believe it, because she wants to be just as close and just as close as we can possibly be. So Jesus came to my rescue. Can you believe it? Can you believe that Jesus would come to my... I was at my wit's end. Lord, how am I going to preach if my own wife can't hear this? What am I going to do? It was one of the great reformers of the Methodist Church. Who was the one that... Wesley. Apparently, when he was preaching, his wife was sitting in the front row sticking her tongue out at him. Now, she's never done that. Oh, no. But here I was, you know, here my own sweet wife, my love of my soul, my heart. And Lord said to us, He said to us about our love, He said, people will see your love and they'll see, what is it? And it'll show the kingdom. He says, I haven't put you together for each other. I've put you together for my people. Right. They could see something. That was wonderful when he said that, right? Yeah. So Jesus came to my rescue, and we were driving along in the car, and we both, each of us, had an experience with Yeshua. And he was singing to her, and he was singing to me, and we both had a song, you know? Be my friend, oh, be my lover, be my sister, my spouse. Let go of everything that hinders. Heal the wound that's keeping us apart. The seals are broken. The books I open, oh, we can read and remember who we are. The seals are broken. The book is open. We can leave. Nothing keeps us from being who we are. Oh, we can live and love and be all that we are. Oh, we can live and love and be all that we are. Now, here's the song that she heard. How's it start? Don't put me in a place that I don't want to be in. Oh, I just want to walk with you and be your constant friend. Oh, I'm the love, the peace and happiness that come from deep within. Don't put me in a place that I don't want to be in. That does not make good theology. You're not going to go into churches and get along really well by telling them not to put Jesus up for worship and for adoration and for magnification and say how great and wonderful he is. He says, I don't want it. I don't need it. I want you to know how great and wonderful you are. I didn't come to be magnified. I want you to be enlarged. I want you to grow. I want you to become. But then the next line goes like this. Oh, you put me on a pedestal too high for you to reach. Now listen. You said I had expectations. I'm doing this really slow because, boy, I got out of my gourd so happy when I heard this. He says, you said I had expectations that you could not meet. But these are just false images that you did create. Now let me out of prison.
Hallelujah.
I just want to be with you. Now, to make it really simple and plain for you and for myself, that is the definition of sin that God gave me, that she wouldn't believe. You see why I got excited? These, you said, I had expectations that you could not meet. That doesn't mean that he didn't have expectations, but you imputed expectations on me that you could never meet. Those are just false images that you've created. So Jesus took upon himself the definition of sin that I was given, not about this form world, in this form world, but the experience in the hierarchies of levels of existence that go all the way back to our beginning. And he was pointing me that the way sin is created by the imagination that you create in your own soul mind about the Father's expectations. Now, when Jesus talked to his disciples, he said, I have uttered my mouth in parables to say things that have been hidden from the foundations of the world. Why were they hidden? Because they couldn't be understood. Why couldn't they be understood? Because there wasn't a maturity to receive them and to ingrate them into experience and to understand them. It wasn't time for them to be understood. And Jesus hid his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding in parables 2,000 years ago because he knew when the day of Aquarius would dawn and when the opening would come, there would be a people standing here in Oldfield, Missouri, in this room right here, who would be qualified and we would be prepared to hear the things that he had to say uttered from the foundation of the world. And it wouldn't be simply because they're written in his parables, but because they too themselves would be connected to that which is formed in the beginning of time from the foundation of the world. They would hear in their own souls the truth of their own existence. See? So that's what's happening to us. If we can get quiet and listen, we hear the whisper of truth. And the whisper of truth is this, that when you began to be formed, because you have a beginning, you don't have an end, but you do have a beginning. Just like your earth experience has a beginning. And if you lived immortally, you would never have an end. But it has a beginning when you're born. And so your eternal existence has a beginning. But it doesn't have to have an end. It doesn't have an end. And your beginning was when the Father created that feminine principle and conceived you out of himself and began to start you on the journey of form that would ultimately end you up in this physical plane with a form body. And the thing that you don't understand in your great journey of unfolding is your relationship with the eternal Father who created you, and it's the only reality you have. The only reality you have is the inner knowing in you of your relationship to the Father source, to Abba Father, that created you in the beginning. There is no other reality. If you don't own that reality, you don't have a reality. It's the only thing you really need to own. And out of it, everything else flows. It's the only thing you're responsible for. It's the only thing you were given. You were given the gift of existence and conscious awareness of self. You could begin to think about yourself as a self. And you would begin to think about maybe a name that you would like. And the first thought, strangely enough, that you could conceive is when you felt the infinite love of the Father for you, like a child with its the mother, right? The first thought that began to create in you is, how am I going to respond to this great love? What am I going to give in return for this great love? You created that thought. You were capable of it. He gave you the ability to create thoughts and awareness. He gave you, he empowered you with the ability to become a self. He empowered you with the joy and the love of existence and the desire that he had to unfold his own being. You inherited from him and you began the journey and you wanted to begin to live and to be and to exist and to create and to become. Right? And this love of your physical body and your unwillingness to leave it and your fear of its dying are all little reflections of the joy of the ownership of existence itself, which goes far beyond having a physical body. Yeah, I thought I'd do this some other time. Maybe tomorrow or next week or next year. But now is a good time. Right now is a good time. It's not too late. We can still eat afterwards. I can still keep your mind. You can stay alive, can't you? And wake for another. You can do this, right? You can hear me out. Right? If for nobody else but for me, yeah, you can do that. Huh? You want a washing? You want to be washed from every thought you've ever had? It doesn't really fit anyway. You want to be fucked? Washed of the theology that keeps you trapped in circles trying to repeat the past over and over again.
Yes, I can.
Absolutely. You want to be washed from the thought of having to recycle in this material plane ever over and over, trying to reach some kind of perfection that you've imagined that God really doesn't even want from you at all. You want to be released from those cycles of karmic incarnations. You want to own your existence. You want to find love in yourself for your own being. You want to get on the journey of evolution of consciousness and find delight in the Father's heart without getting trapped in lower planes or in circular events that just doesn't seem to ever end anywhere. Hallelujah. That's our opportunity. That's how grand the opportunity is. We're not dealing here just with physical planes. We're not just dealing with physical spirit. We are in a place where cosmic realms of intelligence and of being are watching us because they're looking for the key for their own unfolding. They're looking for understanding to know who they are. They want to understand something by looking at us. And they can't see it if you go somewhere else. And they can't see it if you don't own your body. And they don't see it if you don't become physical. And if they don't see it, if you don't begin to love your physicality and own your body and see it as a great treasure. Yeah. Glory. Yeah. I should just say it really calm. I can't say it really. I am just out of my mind about this. Tell you what, we are washed. We are being washed from centuries of religious and spiritual thought that has served us well. I'm not against anything where we've been. It's all had to be. But I'm glad to be washed from it. Because we're poking our heads into newness and understanding. We're opening a portal, a heaven of light and understanding that's been waiting from the dawn of time, that's been waiting from before the creation, waiting to unfold, waiting for an opening. And we're that. We are that that's bringing that opening. Megan, you're doing it. You're doing it by looking inside. Hallelujah. So, Now, sin came into the world. Why did it come here? It came here to be understood. Oh, my God. Now, that's revolutionary. That is so wild. That is so out of this world. That is so typically un-Christian, un-Buddhist, un-anything that I've ever heard. Sin coming into the world because it wants to and needs to be understood. But it's so spiritual. And it's so powerful. And it even, I thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Through my sweet, beautiful, wonderful wife. I would not have the courage to talk to you like this today if he hadn't powerfully confirmed it to me. Because I tell you what, you are going to have to leave all your understanding to embrace this. Nothing that you've got fits into this. Absolutely nothing. No, but no wonder. No, you think your brethren don't want you for just saying now. Wait till they hear what you're really going to say.
Amen.
Amen. What is that? Centuries of beautiful, terrible religious thought and intelligence trying to preserve a feeding ground to enrich itself and to feed itself from the fear and the doubt of humankind. We're going to cut that off. We're going to cut that thing off, Barber. Yep, the status quo is good. Sick people are good. Sick people are good. They make money. They come into hospitals and need expensive MRIs. And then if we have lots of insurance, then we can just give them extra tests so that we don't get sued. Yeah, what do you think that is? That's just reflecting what's always been. That's in other worlds that you brought here with you to be understood and to be seen and to be said no to, right? Right? So, before I lose this one, just quickly, just so you understand that a new theology is needed, a new understanding is absolutely needed. And it's not contrary to what the scriptures say. It will totally be confirmed. When John the Baptist said to Jesus, he said, look at this man. He said, and what you're going to see, if you can, have you seen those things where you have to look at them and stare a foot away and sort of focus and defocus, and all at once you see that three-dimensional thing in there? What do you call those things? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? And sometimes you can do it, and sometimes you can do it. He says, now you look at this guy really good, this Jesus. You watch him walk his road. You watch him do his miracles. You watch him die on a cross. You watch him resurrect. And maybe if you get into focus, you'll see something. Most likely, you'll just get tripped out on the physical thing about it, and you want to be a healer, and you have all that power to heal the sick and the dead and raise the dead, and maybe you'll want to avoid dying on a cross. Maybe you create all kinds of thoughts about this, and maybe you'll create the thought that maybe you don't have to die on a cross because he did, or maybe that he died for your sin, so you don't have to, and you get rid of your sin. You don't have to own your sin even. How wonderful that is, so somebody else owns your sin. Well, why don't you give your sin away from it? It's yours. Why do you want him, somebody else, to benefit from your sin? Why don't you just own it? Right? To be empowered, right? To understand your sin, to walk through it, and to use it as an evolutionary driver for your becoming. I didn't come just to take your sin away so you wouldn't have to. I came so that you could be empowered to own your sin and let it be your evolutionary driver to become everything you could be. Now you're really going to be out of theological schools. You're never going to hear no Baptist church teaching that. I had this beautiful friend. She went to Bill Britton's church. Can you imagine this? No, God just is a humorous God. Bill Britton's church, a companion of your dad's. I mean, your dad gave him his first mailing list. Your dad always enjoyed telling me that. Bill Britton, who became very large in his ministry all over the nation, right? And then he left the church. Now the church is just a charismatic church. And his, what's her name, went there, and the preacher was preaching about sin. And she said, Jesus, she said, what do you think about sin? What a thought. God, I would never have thought about asking Jesus about sin. Of course, he hates it. It's the stuff he died for. Just nailed him to that cross over that stuff. He's trying to get rid of it, get everybody clean and cleansed from it. And I wanted to get it out of my soul. Of course, I know what he thinks about sin. It's bad stuff. So it's so wonderful when you get simple enough and just let the Holy Ghost, I guess, ask a question through you. And she said, well, Lord, what do you think about Satan? And Jesus said to her, he says, well, that's just something that you've created. This is something you've created. That fits in totally perfectly with you've created an imagination about me that you're not able to meet. And it blocks you and hinders you from your development. And you're going to have to do something about that, right? So then when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, it's the Lamb is and something that happened in the Father's heart from the dawn of time, where he took some energy and created something that was always going to be available, so that when your sin becomes too much for you, you can wash it away. See, and if you want to see that principle, you couldn't see it very well in the animals that got slaughtered in the Old Testament, and thousands of cows and animals. That was very ineffective. But if you look at it, this man, Jesus, he became a perfect picture for you to understand how the eternal principle of love that's in the Father's heart is always provided in all generations for all men all the time to continually wash and cleanse yourself from sin. See, it's in the scripture. Now I want to show you one more thing, and then I'll lay it down. And what I'm trying to, I'm not really trying to give you ideas for a repertoire of ideas in your mind. Yes, I hope you do think about it. I hope it becomes. But I'm wanting to convey a thought to you. I want to convey a thought to you to get ready. Make everything up for grabs. Put everything up for grabs. Put everything up for an exchange. Be willing to have everything in you exchanged for newness. That's what I want. I don't want to say, Rogus, now I'm the guru. I'm going to teach you all this. No, I don't need that. We can't go on that way. We've been trying to go on. No, we need to become alive ourselves and know that we are in communion with our eternal Father's source, that he's whispering in our soul understandings hidden from the foundation of the world that bypass and are greater than the understandings that have been revealed in the scriptures, but you can find them there. You are a worthy recipient of the truth of eternity to qualify for your emerging and your becoming. You are the only one that ever lived and that will ever live and have existence that can hear the whisper of the Father about you. There is nobody in the universe or in all worlds, including Jesus himself, that can hear what you need to hear for yourself. Glory. What a wonderful, freeing, empowering thought. What an individualization of experience that can truly make us one. The only thing that can really, really make us one is a total and unqualified worth of our own personal existence and a great love born in my heart from my Father, because he took the time and the love and the energy to create me out of himself. Hallelujah. That's the basis for a unity that cannot be broken. It's the basis for a corporateness that can go without limits. But it has to be based in truth. It has to be based in righteousness. It has to be validated in each individual with tremendous worth. Hallelujah. Now, this book of Genesis. And I'm scared of it because I surely know that I don't understand it. That I'm convinced of, Lynn. You convinced me of that. But now let me read something to you. Just listen. Do this for me. maybe I'll just quote it. I'd like to read it. Just let me just quickly tell you a dream first. We had this beautiful woman to come here. She's the mother of some of these children that come to these meetings. All these children that come, I think all the children, I call them children, they're not, they're young adults. Forgive me, I can't help it. It seems so wonderful. All these young people you see around here dancing, they are all the children of people who have laid down their lives and whose lives have been broken and crushed. And they, some of them even left their parents because they said, I don't want to live like you. I don't want your lot. And then when they got children of their own, they looked back and took a second look, and he says, well, maybe that wasn't so bad. I remember when I was a child, my mom and dad, they taught me those songs, and they danced with me, and they loved me. Well, maybe I should go back, and then there, here they are, and here's one of them. She's absolutely beautiful. And I love her like she was my own daughter. And she just loves God. She didn't do it because she loves God. She doesn't do it because her mom loves God. That's all true. And she doesn't even do it because she does it because she just loves God. And you watch her in the meetings, and her face lights up, right? And I want to go with them. I want to be with them, and I want to worship with them. Because I tell you what, the opening of this next age is for them. They're going to walk in. I'm not so sure about you. I don't know if you will. I don't know if you're going to let go. I don't know if you will. Because you're going to get so angry, and you're going to get so stubborn, just like I am. I don't put nothing on you. But these children will. Let's go with them. Let's worship with them. Glory, there's an opening. There's an opportunity for us to be saved. There really is. Be washed to understand our truth. Hallelujah. It says here, and the man and the woman, they were naked and they were not ashamed. Boy, we were all trying to get there. Well, they were unclothed. They didn't have a material garment. And they could see in each other. They didn't have any experience of shame. And then it says, and the woman saw that the tree was good for the eyes, good for the senses, and good to create experience. And she sort of led Adam on in. And then it says, and the man and the woman, they were naked and they were ashamed. Right after that. The tree did something for them. The tree helped them. The tree was an opportunity for them. It helped them to create a sense of duality. Whoa. Now we're leaving it really off the track. God, we're really heading for the ditch now. You mean that God wanted you to have an experience of duality? Doesn't God want you to be one? No. He don't want you to be one. You've always been one. You're one from the beginning. He knows that you're one. He wants you to have an experience where you don't know him. He wants you to have an experience of duality. He wants you to go into a place where all your worst doubts and your worst fears of separation can become a reality. No wonder nobody wants to hear this. Jesus Christ, we're trying to get out of this mess. Focus! You're putting us right back in. No, I'm not. I just want you to open your eyes. I just want you to feel. I want for the first time in your life, you want you to say, God, let me feel this. Why am I experiencing this? What's your purpose? Let's show you how subtle this is. How subtly, how easily we deceived we are. And Sue and Kellen and I came here to this property. I think I'm the head of the house. You know, I should be the covering here. I'm the man. Jesus. Oh, my God, help me. Oh, Lynn, you were so good for me today. So, I know this is we stepped into that little house down there. You've been with us. We stepped into that house, and Kayla went into this Holy Ghost fit. She's so beautiful when she does that. She begins speaking tongues, and she says, "This is my house. This is it. This is it. Okay. I'm going to decide this together at least." You know. Now, like Bill, he used to say, "Why be our leader of men if you can be a follower of women?" Lynn was telling me that maybe Priscilla wrote the book of Hebrews. That's a real stunner. I'm just going to think about that one. But Carolyn had this experience in God. She's so tuned, so finely. I just love it. I'm so glad for her sensitivity, for her intuitiveness, so that I can be what I am. I'm not that sensitive, not that intuitive. I'm more what I am. Well, you know. But she allows me, because of her, I can be that. See? We're one together, right? Not one to lose your identity, to become more intensely who you are, right? Like Lynn was saying to us. Well, a few years later, we went up to Barbara's, and she had this psychic, and she said, "You got to see this psychic." And I said, "Nah, I don't want to see this psychic." But I love Barbara, so I went to see the psychic. And the psychic... The psychic says, "I'm standing in front of your house. You got mold in your house." I said, "I didn't want to come to hear that. I want to be some holy thing about my calling in God. I didn't hear about mold in my house." So sure enough, we went home and we pulled up the carpet, and then guess what? There's mold in the house. Whoa. God, why are you so interested in this mold in my house, right?
It's bad for you.
Mold's bad stuff.
Yeah.
So I went and looked under the house, and there's mold this thick on the beams. There's water running under my house. There's the beams, the wood on the should have been green wood on the walls, on the block walls, are rotted out. I had to jack up the house and replace. I had to tear out the floor. I just had to do a renovation job right at Thanksgiving time. The place is a terrible mess, and all these people are coming, and I don't know where to put them. And oh God, these houses are killing in the house. God, I hate this house. She got real. She let the feelings come up. Nobody around. I wasn't listening. She'll be sure nobody's listening. But she told me about it. She says, "Oh, God, I hate this house." And then Spirit spoke to her and said, "Well, what did you say when you first came into this house?" Oh, she said, "Oh, God." She says, "I'm sorry." Oh, it was wonderful. God wasn't asking her to be sorry. God wasn't reprimanding her for being angry. God wasn't saying, "You shouldn't be reacting like this." Where does all that come from? Right? He was just asking her a question. And then when she got into the repentance mode, and I didn't hear this for quite a number of years, this part, this repentance mode that she kicked into, where's that coming from? What kind of imagination have we got about God? We think we need to repent for our anger. What's the matter with some anger? You need some anger. You'll never get to your denials if you don't have some anger. Your anger will lead you to your denials. When you get really get frustrated and get upset, wildly upset, that's the moment to ask God, "Why am I so upset?" And God will talk to you if you ask Him. But if you find some reason outside of yourself, "Well, I'm really upset because that woman, or because that preacher, or because that money situation," or you just hide it from yourself another time, you don't have to come back again, because you don't own your emotional body. You haven't been cleansed in your emotions. You don't own it. It's owned by spirits, by hitchhikers, by religious consciousness, anything but your own. What is these people, as somebody called them today, Anna? What did you call those guys? No, who was it? No, it was Dorothy. What did you call them? Imposters. You got a whole bunch of imposters that you've inherited, and you got them running around in your soul and in your mind, and they're owning your experience and defining you, and they're not even really you. You don't really own it, and you don't even know it. And you justify it by your religious cliches. And you quote Paul to do it. Yeah, you do. You're continually crucifying something with Christ back there to get rid of it, right? Because Paul said it. I'm not sure Paul meant it that way. Oh. Anyway, excuse me for that. But it's still true. Come on. Right? And so then the Lord said to her again, He said, well, now I've got your mind in the right place. I've created a circumstance here, a lowered awareness of a house that's rotting with mold that you didn't want to be in. But I'm creating this situation, or you've created this situation, as a milieu, as a modality in which I can ask you a question. And the question is, what did you say when you first came into your body? Now we're getting to deal with the real issue. The real issue isn't in this material plane. The real issues lie beyond this plane, and it has to do with the way that you came into a physical body, and why did you come here? Why'd you come into this physical body? Right? And you've depended on the answer of religion all these centuries. And you said we fell down, we made a mistake, we screwed up, we believed something we shouldn't have believed, we ate off some tree we shouldn't have eaten of. And it's totally derailed you into the experience that you needed. You needed that experience of religious consciousness. You needed the experience of duality. You needed the experience of doubt. And most of all, you needed that sin that you so desperately try to get rid of. And it says, and the man and the woman, they were naked and they were ashamed. They came through a portal created divinely, and they were lowered in order that the shame that they had in the eternal realm, in the relationship with their Father that they couldn't understand and couldn't get a hold of, they brought it with them and made it real in the physical plane so that they could see the shame that they had in their higher being. Their higher being created an experience in a lower plane so that the higher being that you are could understand something that it couldn't grasp in the higher worlds. It's your higher being that's having the experience of you as a human. It's not your human being. It is the experience. Your human consciousness, your physical body, is the experience that your eternal being is having as you. Don't you love it? That shows a different light on the whole matter. How about the great question, who you are and why you're here? Now, let me see, I want to do this thoroughly so I don't have to do this again. Right? Yeah, you don't want to have to endure me like this too often. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. When we and you and I were lowered through shame, there's a book called Power Versus Force. What's the guy's name? And he's measured the various emotional states that humans experience. And the highest frequency is love. And it's given a measure of 1,000. And there's very few things that measure 1,000. The scriptures, I think, do. Jesus does. And then it's on a logarithmic scale. Now, that's a little too difficult, not worth explaining, but a scale of 200 is not 1/5 of 2,000. It's a very small, it's not 1/5, it's very way down the line. And guess what the emotion is with the lowest frequency? Huh?
Shame.
Shame is the lowest frequency of all the emotional states. And guess what frequency was used to help you create a physical body, to incarnate? shame. They were naked and they were not ashamed. And they participated in the tree and they were ashamed and they became physical beings. They clothed themselves in order to hide from themselves. What else is it to hide from? Yourself. And you can do that. In this physical plane, you can hide yourself. You can say, Connie, I just totally love you. I wish you hadn't come to this meeting. You can think this, right? You can say, I wish you had stayed home because I don't really like you. I can do this to Connie because she knows I love her with all my heart, so I can do this. But you can say one thing and mean another. It's really easy, right? We do it all the time. And sometimes it's the wise thing to do. Wise things to do is to not show you're really feeling sometimes, right? Carolyn sometimes says to me, lie to me. I know exactly what she means, you know. And she doesn't have the opinion of her that I have, right? And sometimes it sounds like lying when I say the things I do. They're not lying for me, right? So it's a relative thing, right? We learn to hide. And this one lady came to our place, and I'm going to try and close this down. Donna came here. You all know Donna. And she could just, her eyes roll back in her head, and she starts prophesying. It's wonderful. And some of her children come to our meetings now, and it's just really wonderful. She had a dream. And in this dream, she was naked. And she went to the library. And in that library, all she had to do, being naked, all she had to do is touch the books. And she'd know what was in those books.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then one day she was walking to the library and she saw somebody looking at her and she had a thought of sin, really. She had a thought. And the thought was, they're looking line by line. What is that talking about? It's talking about our incarnation. We were reduced. We were reduced. We wanted to be reduced. We volunteered to be reduced. We chose to be reduced. We wanted to create an experience where shame could be real to us. Because in that world, everything, you can see everything. You can't hide from anything. You can't be ashamed about your body. You can't be ashamed for the thoughts that you had. You can't really be fully ashamed like you can in this plane. Shame, even though it exists in those other planes, because when you say to your father, I don't know if I can meet the expectation of love. I don't know if I'll ever be able to fulfill your heart's desire for which you created me. And then when you take that thought and dwell on that thought, it begins to create a thought of unworth in you. I'm not really worthy of this great love of my father. And then you create a covering of shame for that. And it all happens in the immaterial worlds. It doesn't have to happen in this plane. It happens in those other planes. And you can't understand and deal with it there. So you chose. I said, Father, we'll go. We volunteer. We will be your son. We will be your sacrificial lamb. We will take upon ourselves the shame and the sin of humanity and of the cosmos. And we will incarnate in this human plane. And we will make it all real. And we will walk it through. And we will break the cycles of it in our own being so that all the creation can know that you truly are love. And that there's nothing in you of expectation that hinders any being in any realm, in any place. We are the Lamb of God from the beginning. We were sent into this plane. We said, yes, Father, we will take upon ourselves sin and make it real in this plane. And we will take upon ourselves shame and we will be totally blocked by it. And we will walk it out and we will find a place with your empowerment to say no to it all. And we'll turn the tide for the whole cosmos. That's why Jesus needs to be looked at, so that you can see that you are that lamb. He never was that lamb. He became that lamb so you could know that you are the lamb. And you want to keep him the lamb so you don't have to be the lamb. But you are the lamb anyway. You are the Lamb of God. Jesus is not the Lamb of God. He only became the Lamb of God so you could know that you are the Lamb of God. And that's why you said greater things than what I do. I'm just the image. I'm just beginning to show the truth. You are the reality of what I came to show. You do the work for creation. You will walk it out. You will get cancer in your body and you'll find a way to walk out of it. Every step, every place you put your foot upon shall be given unto you. What is that? That's your incarnate experience. You're going to have to own it. You are not going to be miraculously rescued every time that you get in trouble. Because every time you're rescued, God, you want God to rescue you again and again and again. And He doesn't want to rescue you. He wants you to walk out of it. That's why your miracles and your cures can become your greatest hindrance to walking out your eternal destiny. Come on, might as well say it. Hallelujah. When I'm finished, why don't you just do it right now? Go ahead. Just real quick. Yeah, because I want to close this down. No, go, please, say it.
What got me What got me started on this was when I read, "Set my feet on my high places." He will set my feet on my high places. Those high places, those altars of mine. Those great places that I put myself in my thinking. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then I read about Jesus taking off his robe and washed the disciples' feet. And I said, boy, there's something about this. There's something about this. Our feet are our foundation. Our feet are what our thoughts are founded upon. Our foundation is our thinking, our thoughts. So, and he said, you know, Peter said, wash my whole body. And he said, no, your body's clean. I just need to wash your feet. And you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will. So I totally agree with him and what he's saying about sin. Sin are those, the thoughts that we can't measure up. We separate ourselves from God. Jesus didn't have any kind of thoughts like we do. No kind of thoughts like that. He overcame those thoughts to show us.
See, the reason I really didn't want you to say anything, because I just really want to be very loving and good to you, and I don't want to, I don't want you to, because Jesus experienced it just like you did, so
yeah.
Don't try to make him something that you're, don't try to make him say he was so holy he didn't have any sin. Don't do that.
No, I didn't.
So let me.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I think that's one of the most difficult things. We want to make him a virgin. We want to make him so holy he never had any sin, because we think there's something wrong with having sin. So how could he have had any sin? Because there's something wrong with having sin. Nothing wrong with having sin. Jesus Christ, you need sin.
He knew that he didn't have to measure up, is what I'm talking about.
I guarantee you that because he lived in the body, he knew sin. It says in the Bible, he knew no sin. I guarantee you some priest put that in there who just couldn't stand the thought that Jesus might have a said sin. I guarantee it. I can't prove it, but I guarantee it. Of course he had sin. He's just like you. But he overcame sin. He came from a high frequency, and he came with the remembrance of eternity, and he wasn't short-circuited like you purposely were. You were no mistake that you were short-circuited. Anything wrong with you, the fact that you didn't have a virgin birth or whatever you think it is that you need to be holy, you came through a portal that made you holy. Your holiness is the fact that you took on sin in your body and shame and lived for humanity, became the Lamb of God. That's your holiness. So, I can't reverse your theological thinking of centuries. I can't reverse your thoughts that you've imbibed in for 20 years. I couldn't do it in myself, and I don't plan to do it. Right? We can't, but you can. We can say this tonight. We can't change overnight. You're not going to walk away from here, change. Say, Rokas, you got it. I want to have it. No, it's not going to happen. You're going to resist it. You're going to do whatever it is you got to do. But I promise you, we find an entrance in your soul of the thing I'm really saying. And what I'm really saying is you need to look again at everything you've ever understood and believed. And you need to be willing to let it go. The most wonderful, precious things you got, you better be willing to let them go, because there's a whole newness coming. There's a washing coming that will cleanse it from your soul. But you need to be willing. That's all I'm saying. And you can forget everything I said as far as a belief system thing. Well, Rokas, I like my belief system than the one you got, because at least I got some hope for immortality. You're even taking my hope for immortality away. You want me to fall in love with the mortal body that dies. And you want me to think that that's a great treasure. Absolutely, I do. It is your great treasure. It's what you wanted. It's what you asked for. It's the way you serve your Holy Father. It's your holiness to have this body. And you can't believe it because your pain is so great. But I need to say it one time, and maybe I'll never have to say it again. I don't know. But I want to say it. I want to say it intensely. I want to say it in a way you'll never forget it. Even if you lose me, you can't stand me. I have to walk away 1,000 miles, which you won't do. Of course not. You've done enough of that. You don't want to do it. But even if you did, I would rather you do that than not entertain this thought. This thought is the thought of your redemption that I'm presenting you tonight. It's the thought of an opportunity for a whole newness for this planet, for the cosmos, for you. And you need to entertain it. Hallelujah. So, now you probably figured out why I didn't want to get up too much tonight. I just wanted somebody to get up and preach tonight. Anybody. Hallelujah. I know what you're going to do. You're going to still love me in the morning, because you've always done that. Hallelujah. Thank you. You've been marvelous. Thank you for allowing me to share it. And I think there's some preparations back there for food. And there's wonderful fellowship, right? Thank you. Oh, by the way, this would be a good time. I would like you to, if you will, if you have an offering to give for this weekend, I want to bless the ministry. Sir, I prefer not to entertain anything else tonight. If you have an offering to give, I would like you to, let's put it somewhere. I have my hat here. And this, Randy has a song. Maybe we'll close with that. No, that's good. A song is good. And we'll do the offering while you sing the song. That's good. But and there'll be more. If more things need to be said, we've got tomorrow morning to love each other, to say goodbye to each other, to share wonderful things and happiness and thoughts. So if you have an offering, please bring it. Randy's going to sing for us while you bring that. Thank you very much.
We'd be a pretty weak and pitiful people if we could not sit and let each man speak his truth.
That's right.
We'd be a pretty weak and pitiful people. I want to thank you. I want to thank you tonight, Rokas. I want to give him the space to say what he's got to say, right? All right. Father, bless the offering. Let them bring with joy of giving. There are needs to be met for the food that's been provided. All right. Then the ministers really need to be blessed. All right. They're the ones that's... Well, it's the food prepared. That's the food prepared. All right. So come bring your money. Come bless. Give Rokas an extra hug tonight.
Yeah.
When you empty your being like that, I mean, he's really got naked before you. He shared some things tonight that's from the depth of his being. And when you come back down out of those dimensions and realms, when you share like that, you need to be hugged. I'm going to tell you, you need a physical touch. You need to know you're still grounded and connected and that you'll be loved no matter what you've exposed of yourself. Can you hear me? All right, so you love him tonight.